Hi, everyone. It is Steven Schleicher. And, man, this is an episode of Munchkin Land. This episode of Munchkin Land is so great. Why is it so great, Steven, you're asking? Well, I'll tell you, dear listener. It's so great because it's being brought to you free of charge by our Major Spoilers VIPs from around the world. If you're a Major Spoilers VIP and you're listening right now, look in the mirror, smile, give yourself a little tap to the chin, and say right on. You guys are awesome. I really mean that. You guys are just fantastic. And we've been able to do so many things over the last couple of years, thanks to our VIP members. And I want more of you to get on board on this VIP train. The VIP train allows us to do even more. And I'll tell you what we're going to be doing. The more VIPs we get, the more video we're going to be able to do for Munchkin Land. That's right. More video Munchkin Land episodes. And we're going to kick things off in a couple of weeks with Dice Masters. We're going to be playing a Dice Masters tournament between myself, my son, Rob, and Brian. We're all going to sit down and take on Dice Masters, a couple of different versions, and then go head-to-head at the end. It's going to be a lot of fun, and we're going to put it up on our YouTube channel. Now, I will try to get it in the podcast feed, but, you know, file sizes are pretty large, and we are at the maximum storage space that we have with Libsyn, who's our podcast provider for storage. So I don't know if we'll be able to put everything up there, because the one that we just recorded yesterday is about an hour and a half long. Yeah, it's a long show. It takes a long time to play a couple of games of Dice Masters, but we're going to bring that to you. Also, a heads up, in October, we will have Cthulhu Month. What do you mean Cthulhu Month, Stephen? Well, we'll be playing Cthulhu Smash Up. We have never played that before on the show. We will be playing Cthulhu Dice, which we have played on the show. We'll also be playing Cthulhu Wars from Sandy Peterson, and that's going to be a lot of fun. We've been playing that behind the scenes, getting prepped for this game. And I believe that all of those will be video episodes. Now, not all Munchkin episodes going forward are going to be video, because it does take a long time to shoot and prep and edit and put it together and do all the graphics and do blah, 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 blah. And right now, there's only one person doing all of that stuff. I would like to hire more. And that's why you need to get on this VIP train. What do you get for your VIP treatment? Well, you also get the knowledge. If you go in as a bronze member, you have the knowledge that what you're doing is helping us each and every day, each and every week. Silver members, you get some behind-the-scenes access to stuff. And if you're a gold member, you get to participate in our monthly chat that we have exclusively for gold members. You can find out more about this over at members.majorspoilers.com. And I would love to see more of you get on board before the end of August. At the end of August, what I would love for us to do is to be able to live stream our Major Spoilers podcast every Tuesday evening. We only need, I think at this point, less than 400 of you to sign up. Don't sit there and say, oh, I'll just wait for Joey down the street to sign up. Because Joey down the street is sitting there waiting. Hey, I'm waiting for Samantha up the street to sign up. Don't wait for the other person. Jump on board today. Help us out. Help yourself out by bringing more great content to you. This week is supposed to be a Munchkin Minute. And we're going to go a little bit longer than a minute, obviously. We were at Nerdtacular 2015 a couple of weeks ago. We talked about some of the games there, but what we haven't talked about is Gen Con. Last week we had an actual game that we played, so we haven't had a Munchkin Minute since Gen Con, and this week I thought it would be great to sit down with Dr. Will. He went to Gen Con with his family, and we're going to have just a real quick discussion over the things he saw and some of the games that came out and what he liked and didn't like, so you're going to hear that in just a moment. If you have any questions, podcast@majorspoilers.com. You can find the podcast posting page. If you'd like to leave a comment for this show, there's a link to it in the show notes. There's also a link right there if you're on your mobile device. You should see a little link right there in the show notes for this episode that you can click on the phone number, and it'll take you right to the Major Spoilers hotline where you could leave a message there. Or you could just be awesome and follow us on Twitter @MajorSpoilers. All right, that is enough of my jibba jabba. Let's listen to some more jibba jabber as Brad, Will, and I sit down and talk about Gen Con. So I'm here today with Dr. Brad Will, who's been on this show many times, and we're at his house today. So, you know, excuse the recordings and some of the background noise and everything. That's just the way it is. But it's been, what,
a week and a half now, or just a week?
I've been from Gen Con for about a week, yeah.
Yeah, so tell me about your Gen Con experience and what you saw. And
we had a really good time. It was a great convention. Now, I haven't been to Gen Con probably for 10 years.
Oh, really? That long?
So okay. Maybe 8 years or so. It's been a good long time. And the convention has grown substantially.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Much bigger. A lot more people. A lot more events going on. It seemed like even the dealer's room was larger than I remembered it being.
Mm-hmm.
Just an amazingly huge, huge con. Saw a lot of cool stuff, met some people, talked to some nice people. And, you know, the people at the con, I mean, the convention goers were fun.
It's
one of those. And you know how that is. I mean, you get it at a nerdy mm-hmm. convention like that. Everybody's mm-hmm. really cool and gamers are really open. And,
yeah.
you know, this just you can't ride in an elevator with somebody without them striking up a conversation about something.
Yeah.
And then you'll see that same person again, you know, 60,000 people at the con, but, you know, only a few hundred in your hotel. So you mm-hmm. keep running into those people over mm-hmm. and over again. So it's just kind of nice. We had a really good time.
Well, what were some of the games that you saw that really caught your eye as standouts this year?
Well, there was one game that unfortunately I didn't catch. The one game that I really went and said, this is the game I'm going to get is Mysterium.
Mm-hmm.
And every day they sold out of it.
I mean, wow.
They sold out of it early in the morning. I'm usually an early riser, but I had my wife and the two boys with me. And, you know, I would get up and get a cup of coffee. And we were slow to start. It was family yeah. vacation, and I wasn't going to hassle anybody. So it was, you know, the dealer's room opened at 8, and it was probably about 10:30 or 11 before we would sort of mm-hmm. finally stumble over there. And it was gone.
2 hours day. So what's Mysterium yeah. about for listeners who don't know?
Mysterium is kind of like, well, this will also be, those who don't know, it's kind of like the game Dixit.
Mm.
Or maybe even, I guess, a fair comparison would be apples to apples in kind of a really mm-hmm. weird sideways path. So you're playing so it's a like a party game, and you have one person who plays a ghost.
Uh-huh.
And the ghost is trying to point the players to the, like, clue, like the murder weapon and the location that this murder took place.
Uh-huh.
And so the only way the ghost can communicate is through images and dreams. And so the ghost has a stack of really bizarre painting cards with bizarre paintings on them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can sort of pass these to players, and they have to interpret the dream to lead to the proper suspect or the proper weapon. It's really it's just seems to have really struck people really positively lately.
Yeah.
I think it was originally a Polish game, so there have been a lot of Polish versions of it around. And it's not language dependent, but the new English edition was out and just sold out instantly.
Wow. Now, do you think there's a lot of repeat playability to that game?
I think so. It's a party game.
Also. Yeah.
So it's going to be that kind of crowd. So you have 8 people around the table, and you can drag this one out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, the deck of cards, imagine... So it's like apples to apples in that, you know, as a terrible analogy, but that's about the best you can do here. You know, where you're trying to match one concept up with another concept, right? And so it's trying to get somebody to make the connection between this bizarre image
mm-hmm.
and a particular person, you know, from an array of suspects.
Right, right.
And so there are all kinds of weird things. You can key off of color. You can key off of some themes or occupations. It's a pretty cool game.
Interesting.
I'm really looking forward to it becoming available generally.
Now, I saw you picked up a new copy of Sheriff of Nottingham.
Got Sheriff of Nottingham. Yeah, that was a big catch because that's been out of print for a while. And so grabbed that. I mean, I guess the first print of that sold quickly. And so we... got a copy of that from Arcane Wonders.
So I saw there was a lot of buzz about that as well.
Yeah. Will Wheaton did a tabletop a few weeks ago.
Oh, okay. So that's probably why so many people are interested in it and why I'm hearing a lot of buzz about it.
Yeah. So that got people going. But as soon as it came out, it was pretty popular. It's just a neat little fun game with some bluffing elements that are unique. It doesn't really even compare well to another game I can't think of.
Now, there was I don't know if you saw this game or not, but... while you were at Gen Con, we were at Nerdtacular, obviously. Mm-hmm. Everybody listening knows that. But there was somebody who went to Gen Con for the first half of the week, then hopped on a plane and flew to Nerdtacular to do the Nerdtacular event on Friday and Saturday. And he brought with him a game called Tesla versus Edison.
Yeah, that was kickstarted a while back.
Yeah, did you get to see that there? I sat around and watched them play it for about 5 or 10 minutes, and I thought it was really, really fascinating and cool.
Yeah.
It kind of plays loose with history, but it's still kind of a fun concept and idea.
Yeah, I saw the Kickstarter when that was going around and toyed with it and just decided I was going to save my money. And, you know, I'm kind of, I don't know, I'm thinking, we'll see how other people react to these games, you know, because first impulse, oh, that looks really cool, and everything kind of looks really cool at first, but I want to have some people I know play it. So I didn't pull the trigger on that one. And I saw they had a booth at Gen Con. Mm-hmm. There's an area in the dealer's room, sort of an area set aside for the more entrepreneurial, we've got one game in our catalog kind of groups. And so I got around in that area and was looking around. But yeah, I haven't played it or got to see it played.
It looks interesting because you're trying to build power plants up in the northeast part of the United States. You can take on a number of different people, including Tesla and Edison.
Yeah, they're not the only.
And then you can. I didn't get to watch, you know, more than maybe a round and a half, but you get to purchase people who can increase your PR and hurt the PR of other players, which increases or decreases your stock, which means you can then use that money to buy more power plants and try to connect your power plants. And to me, it kind of felt a little bit like Monopoly meets the Ticket to Ride.
Okay, yeah.
But with a different kind of aspect to it. It looked really fun. It was the one that, of all the games that, of course, there's some other games. There's the, everybody went crazy for the DC's Cryptozoic deck builder game. That was the one that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I think Rob and Brian and Matthew and everybody kind of had a change of heart after playing that game. They're like, this is really fun.
Oh, that's good.
So we'll be playing that in upcoming episodes, obviously. But of all the games that I watch people play at Nerdtacular, that's the one that kind of caught my attention. I was like, ooh, I want to learn more about this game. And knowing that it just had come out at Gen Con, I was, you know, even more interested.
Yeah. So. My impression is it has a lot of moving parts and it's kind of a brain burner.
Yeah,
it's really an intense kind of game, not very casual.
No, it seemed pretty intense. That's why I was only able to watch, you know, maybe one complete round in about 5 or 10 minutes as people were, you know, learning the rules, obviously, but also figuring out how they wanted to take on the other players.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
What else did you see?
Well, let's see. I got to talk for quite a bit of time to Sandy Peterson.
Oh, good. He does the Cthulhu Wars.
Cthulhu Wars and the creator of Call of Cthulhu. Mm-hmm. And he has recently gone back and is now associated with Chaosium and has taken over, at least to some degree, the fulfillment of the Call of Cthulhu 7th Edition Kickstarter.
Oh, okay. Well, that was a Kickstarter because I've already got the manuals and everything.
Yeah, so there was a Kickstarter and the PDF has been in production or been out for a long time.
Right.
That's what you have.
That's what I have.
They've had some hiccups with getting the print version out.
Okay.
And so I've been told on very, very, very good authority that that's going to be in people's hands by October.
Cool. Did he also talk about the upcoming Cthulhu Wars expansion? Did you get to talk to him about that?
Talked a little bit about that, although there wasn't much I didn't already know about it.
So, right.
So they're doing the second wave of the Kickstarter for Cthulhu Wars, and there are going to be some new factions in addition to the ones. So we've got, you know, I still don't have the seven factions yet, and it hasn't been fulfilled for the original Kickstarter, but this is going to be a second Kickstarter, giving people an opportunity to gain the factions. If you didn't order them the first time, you'd be able to get them this way. And then a couple of new factions are coming out, apparently.
So did he, I mean, is there a reason why it's so delayed? I mean, you've had the first box. We did the unboxing over on our YouTube channel about a year ago, October.
January.
Oh, January.
It came out in January. Yeah, okay. So only about 7 months.
Okay.
I think they've just been completely overwhelmed by the scope of it.
Yeah, that was a pretty huge Kickstarter, right? I mean, they went way beyond their goal.
Yeah, yeah, way, way beyond their goal. But then the thing is, the idea was to print, have a big enough print run that they would be able to sell the games and expansions for a while. They had some copies of Cthulhu Wars they were selling. A couple of independent dealers at Gen Con were selling the main box of Cthulhu Wars. But apparently all the print for the expansions, those have all been accounted for.
Wow.
So they're not going to have any resale stock after. So those are all going out to Kickstarter.
And the Kickstarter's done, right?
The first Kickstarter is done,
but I mean the second one. Has that one
completed? The second one will start in September.
Oh, okay. All right. So another month before that kicks off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's cool. But I bet you, did you show him pictures of what you've done with your pieces?
I didn't. No, I wasn't that. I thought, well, you know, a lot of people painted them, so I wasn't.
Have they? Have you looked online to see what people have done?
Yeah, a lot of people.
Okay, because I'd like to see and see what other people are doing, too. And listeners, if you don't know what we're talking about, go back onto our YouTube channel, Major Spoilers video, where we did an unboxing of the Cthulhu Wars game. It must have been in January. It must have been that first weekend that you got it. In fact, I think you had just gotten it when we did the unboxing video.
Yep, just a couple days later.
And then since then, Brad has been painting up these figures. And if you followed my Instagram or Rob's, or have you put anything up on your social medias?
I did a few on my Twitter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then you know that Brad's been painting these things out beyond the base plastic of blue and red and yellow. And they look fantastic. And you guys are going to get to see these again in an upcoming Munchkinland episode, episode. So there you go.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. It's, yes.
Was there anything that really surprised you? Was there a game that you didn't expect to go see and that just was like, wow, what is this thing?
No, you know, sadly, I think those days are past, right?
Really?
You know, well,
is it because of other websites that go into depth? I mean, you follow, what is it, BoardGameGeek.com a lot, and that's a really good resource for people to find information on games.
So, you know, everything that's, you know, they release a list of everything that's coming out of Gen Con. As far as I know, there were no surprises.
Okay.
If it was a surprise, it was so small that it was off my radar.
Yeah.
No, you know, there was nothing that just kind of blew me away. Oh, you know, but I speaking of the video we did, though, I mean, I was surprised to see the Warpo Toys guys.
Oh, yeah, the Warpo. Yeah,
they were really nice and friendly.
Did they recognize? Did you go up and talk to them?
I went up and talked to them and just said, oh, you know, they said, oh, do you have our toys? I said, no, but a friend of mine does. And we did this unboxing video with my Cthulhu Wars. And the one fellow was like, oh, that was a great video. I love that video.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, it was really nice.
Well, they just announced, or when does it start? I think their second Kickstarter is getting ready to start, or... No, it's in the new previews catalog. They have that 12-inch or however big that giant Cthulhu action figure is.
Yeah.
It's in the brand new previews. It's going for $80 if you want to get it. And I think I may be now out $80 because I can't have all of the other figures and not have the giant Cthulhu.
Yeah.
I really wish I could have gotten the playset that they had from their initial Kickstarter. But that was like you had to be like a $2,000 backer or something like that to get that thing. But
they had the commercial running there at the con.
The new one?
The old one.
Okay.
Fake commercial from the 80s.
Yeah,
it was nice.
They've got a new old one where they're introducing the giant Cthulhu figure.
Oh, I didn't see that.
And yeah, it looks pretty cool. So
very good.
Yeah, can't wait to see that come out.
Yeah. What else did we do, Ian? My 13-year-old son played his first Dungeons and Dragons adventure.
Oh, cool.
That was weird.
Yeah?
It was the first... it used to be at Gen Con that Wizards of the Coast would do these dungeon delves where you could just go and you would have, like, say, 45 minutes to kind of dig through a dungeon as fast as you could.
Right.
And they'd give you a little pre-painted mini at the end. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was very nice and fun.
Yeah.
They quit doing that, and now there's a gaming group. I don't know where they were from. I can't remember. Maybe they're from Indiana. Very nice guys. But then they would run the Dungeons & Dragons games all weekend long, all night long. There were hundreds of DMs all wearing the same nice little red shirt. and they were playing this year's new season of organized play.
Oh, cool.
And so they were trotting that out for the first time at Gen Con.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Ian and I sat down for a beginner, total newbie introduction game. And this is the first level one adventure for this year's organized play. And I won't spoil it in any way, except just to say that it was weird. It was a weird D&D adventure.
Have you played 5th edition?
I have not played 5th edition before then. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't weird because it was 5th edition. It was just thematically, content-wise, weird.
Huh.
It was just weird.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, well, look for that.
Yeah.
They do organize play here in town, don't they? Don't they do that at Hastings?
Not that I know of. At Hastings?
I thought they had a Dungeons & Dragons. I know now they've kind of switched everything over to WizKids, and it's all Magic the Gathering and Yu-Gi-Oh! And Dice Masters and
stuff. If they did, I wasn't aware.
At one point, I thought they were doing the Encounters Nights.
Yeah.
That would have been last year and a half ago.
Okay. They might have been. I don't pay a lot of attention there.
Well, what I'm glad you found for us a couple of games that we're going to play in an upcoming episode. Munchkin Gloom.
Munchkin Gloom looks pretty gloomy.
This is from Alias Games. This is one of those. Atlas Games. This is one of those where they kind of license stuff from Steve Jackson Games and then they package it together and they use the gloom mechanic.
Yep.
And it has the Munchkin flavor to that. So it looks really cool. It's got the transparent cards and everything that you lay down on top as you're telling your story. So I'm looking forward to that one. It looks interesting. Did you play this at the show?
No, I didn't. No. I grabbed, because I didn't have it, Cthulhu Gloom. So I
got,
I got
that one too?
That and the expansion for that.
Yeah. Okay. And then the other one is the brand new Smash Up expansion, Smash Up Munchkin.
Yeah.
Which, again, is Smash Up, but with the Munchkin theme. And this one, it has, what is it, monsters? Or, yeah, monsters that go along with the...
monster cards and treasure cards.
Yeah. Yep. So that's... I really like Smash Up. It's really a lot of fun.
Yeah, that took a lot of effort to not crack the shrink wrap on that while we were at the con.
You could have.
Well,
it bothered me any.
No, because we would have played the hell out of it.
Well, yeah. The deck builder game was, like I said, a huge success. And so we've got those now that we'll be playing. What's another one? I finally cracked and bought King of Tokyo.
Oh, yeah.
Which I sat down with Mason and my wife, and we played a couple games, and that's fun. I like that.
Yeah. I just got a glimpse of it, but a giant, like up to your kind of waist, maybe a little taller version of King of New York.
Oh, really?
They were trotting out at Gen Con, yeah.
Wow.
I mean, just for...
King of New York has been out, though, right? Has that one been out for a while?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's the newest sort of reskin, and I think there's some new mechanics.
Cool. Was there... any talk of this goes, you may not be aware or anything. Was there any talk about the convention moving out of Indiana?
No.
Okay.
Are you thinking because of the
political of the political stance, there was a big push that that the Gen Con said, look, if you guys aren't going to, of course, maybe the Supreme Court kind of booed all that.
No. What you're talking about is back in March, Indiana passed a what they called a religious tolerance law, which would enable businesses to refuse service. And specifically to homosexuals was pretty much the target of that.
Right.
But the NCAA really mostly killed that because you know, March Madness was happening there.
Right.
And I think they got Indiana to pretty much rescind that law.
Oh, good. I hadn't followed up since Gen Con was...
That was all taken care of, yeah. But cool. We were all committed with money for Gen Con, so it was too late to back out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, what was interesting, though, so if you go to... so we had a Starbucks in our hotel, and all the clerks there are wearing little buttons that say, Indy welcomes all. And so there was a little bit of you know, they're trying to kind of backpedal take care of some PR problems that they had there.
Good.
But boy, you know, we just had like just people. We went to a Dunkin' Donuts for breakfast one morning. It was the Dunkin' Donuts that's actually in the Pacers basketball stadium. Mm-hmm. It was just a few blocks away from the convention. And the staff, they really were just so nice and super friendly. And we got there a little late, so it was like 10 instead of, you know, the usual. Right.
Breakfast time.
But it was the Friday of the con. And so we just got to talking to these people, and they were really nice. Mm-hmm. But they were saying, well, nobody had told them. They didn't know. For whatever reason, apparently they didn't know that Gen Con was coming. I don't know. And so that morning they had just been killed with all these gamers, you know, because they're in the basketball arena.
Right, right.
So it's just a weird place to go to get breakfast
you know. Yeah.
But apparently, and we got in there afterwards, and they had they were like, oh, we're so sorry. We don't need more donuts. And it was, you know, we just had a big laugh with them. But everybody was so nice.
Cool.
They were just really friendly people.
And, excellent.
Yeah.
Anything else that you saw that you want to talk about? I saw that they were promoting the new Dice Masters games, the War of Light for the DC side. And then I don't know if they were showing anything on the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Dice Masters, but I know that they have previously announced it.
Yeah, I knew it was announced. I didn't get over and look at that stuff. So
okay.
I just, you know, the dealer room was so huge. There were parts of it.
Yeah, sure.
I spent a lot of time there. Now I was trying to talk to some role-playing game publishers. Mm-hmm. And so I got the Titan's Grave book, the
Wheaton's
RPG book and that kind of stuff. I will tell you one thing about the con, and it was probably like the only, because it was a great con. But the one thing that I found frustrating, and then it kept coming up on Twitter afterward, was that there weren't really any good opportunities for open gaming.
Hmm.
So,
because all the video I've seen is people sitting around playing games.
Well, sitting around playing games, but those are scheduled games and ticketed games.
So when you go
to Gen Con, you get your pass,
right?
And then a few weeks later, housing opens up, mm-hmm. and if you're lucky, you can get good housing.
Mm-hmm.
And then a few weeks later, the scheduling opens up, and you can buy tickets to go to events, and it saves you from having to wait in line.
Yeah,
and even so, if you say, "Well, I'm going to run a Call of Cthulhu game at 3 o'clock in the morning on Saturday,"
mm-hmm.
right? So you can get that scheduled. You put it on the schedule. All the players have to pay $2 for a ticket, and the $2 is kind of a commitment thing.
Right.
And so there was a ton of scheduled gaming, which was something I just didn't get into because I play a little fast and loose.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just don't need to be someplace at 3 o'clock at a certain time. But if you wanted to just play a game, like mm-hmm. let's say you brought a game or you bought a game and you mm-hmm. wanted to play it, there really weren't good spaces for that. There weren't open
yeah.
tables where you could just go sit down. So we had met some friends, another couple with two teenage boys, and we played Cash and Guns one evening,
mm-hmm.
but we just did it sitting in a circle in the hallway in the convention center, you know, just sitting on the floor.
Was that pretty common to see a lot of people do
that? Yeah, there were a lot of people doing that. And then there were some spaces where even that was organized. So there were some werewolf games and some mm-hmm. Bring Out Your Dead games where basically it was an organized game, but there were just people just sitting on the floor or maybe sitting in a circle of chairs in the middle of the hallway.
Right.
So that was like the one thing that was frustrating. Like, some open tables would have been something you think.
Mm-hmm.
That, and maybe there was some reason for not doing that, but that was weird.
Who got the $2?
I guess the convention gets the $2.
Yeah. That's why.
Well, I guess, but I think the $2, you know, that's really a...
I know, but still, it's, you know, if there's money to be made, let's try to use as much space as we can and maximize that money.
I guess so.
That's the first thing I would look at, but that's me.
Yeah. And, you know, the organized play stuff, I mean, those scheduled games just, man, they filled up fast.
And you didn't do any of that.
We didn't. So Ian and I played the Dungeons and Dragons game, but that was just, you can just sort of buy a generic ticket and show up.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of that business. And we played some, they had some LAN computer games. So I ended up spending, this is really bizarre. When you go to a convention, I ended up spending a couple of hours playing Minecraft with my kids.
Yeah.
On really nice Alienware computers.
Yeah.
And it was a cool room. It was, you know, League of Legends playing and Super Smash Brothers tournament and stuff. And, you know, here we are throwing snowballs at each other playing Minecraft. But we had a really good time doing it, so it was
excellent.
Worth
anything as a disappointment besides the open gaming tables?
No. I mean, that was just more annoying than disappointing. Mm-hmm. But no, it was a really fun convention. Just good time. Yeah.
Excellent. Going back next year, or is this another 10-year wait?
I don't think it's going to be a 10-year wait. I'm not sure if we're going to go back next year or not. I probably we will. I don't, but you know, it's a lot of, you know, it's $200 a night for the hotel.
Yeah.
And for a family of four, you know, it's not like, you know, me and my four buddies, I'm paying for the whole show.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So it was a layout of some cash.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's something you gotta really think about.
I mean, I really appreciate everybody that goes out to Nerdtacular every year.
Yeah.
And there are some people that aren't interested in the panels. Maybe they'll go to the opening and closing stuff and a concert maybe. But a lot of times they'll just go and they'll just sit in the game room. There's one person who just – I literally must have brought a truckload of games.
Yeah.
He had a table – you know, it's as big as this one, 5x5 or whatever size table, just loaded with his games on there that he brought for people to play. And there's always people in the game room playing stuff. So
yeah,
that was always a good sign. That was really good. Made me feel good. So
yeah,
to see people play games. So, well, I'm glad you went, Brad, and I'm glad you had
me
a lot
too.
Of fun.
Thanks.
And got a couple of games, and we'll be playing more games on Munchkin Land. And thank you, listeners, for checking out this episode.
Thanks.
Thank you so much to Dr. Brad Will, and thank you, listeners, for being a part of another Munchkin Land episode. I've got one more thing for you. I have not gotten the audio file yet, but if you want to listen to or watch the tabletop game panel that I was the moderator on at Nerdtacular 2015, I have placed the YouTube video, the raw video, up on the Major Spoilers website right in this podcast posting page. So again, if you look in your show notes, you click on that link, it'll take you to the podcast posting page. There will be the YouTube video. You can watch to your heart's content. Thank you so much, everybody. Have a great week. We will be back next week to play more Munchkin. Why? Oh, man, because it's so much fun to sit around the table with your friends, stab them in the back, and hope that you win. And just remember, it's not cheating if you don't get caught.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
This podcast is copyright 2015 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.